time to thrive. Welcome to the Thriveology Podcast with Dr. Lee Bockham. Join us as we explore ways that you can thrive in your life, regardless of what life throws at you. It's your life. Time to live it.
My teammates and I were in the midst of a 24-hour adventure race, and we were about 18 hours in. So we still had a good 6 hours to go. We'd started about 8 o'clock the morning before, and so we'd already worked through all of the daylight. We were in the middle of the night, and as we came over a hill, we began to descend into a valley. We knew the valley was there. We knew we had to cross that valley, and it was a fairly long valley before we climbed up another hill. Now, there were lots of places where we could get lost in that process, and so we were trying to pick our way through the process. We were trying to find our way through the trails, but as we got down, as we headed down into the valley, something began to happen. We began to lose our ability to find our way in the light. Now, we had the headlamps on, and we were headed, but the fog had begun to build into the valley. And it was spreading upward, and it was coming in our direction, and we knew that we didn't have a lot more time. We began to feel that place of panic. The whole fog bank was building in on us so rapidly that we weren't sure how we were going to make it through. We had that place where it was, even though it was the three of us, we felt very alone. We had no idea where the other teams were, and we had no idea where our next checkpoint was, other than that it was on our map. The problem was, everything in front of us was beginning to vanish very rapidly. The fog was descending upon us. Have you ever had that feeling? Have you ever had that moment when life feels like it's just a fog that's blocking you, that everything is going on, that you can't find your way, that you feel like you're moving through molasses, that you're stuck, that the fog overwhelms your capacity of thinking through it? This is Lee Bockham, and today on the Thriveology Podcast, we want to talk about what it means to fight through the fog, to get through the fog, to find your way through the fog. There are lots of ways we can think through that. The one thing we can't do is just get rid of the fog. That was the truth of that night. We were in that valley. We were trying to find our way through, but there was no getting rid of the fog. The fog was there because of all the atmospheric conditions. There was no way we were going to get through it. We only had one choice, though. We had to get to the finish line no matter what we were going to do. We were in the middle of nowhere with no one aware of where we were. Not only that, but we didn't have cell phones that were working at that point. We all had a cell phone, but we were so far away from anything that there was no signal. There was no way that we could do anything other than make it through. So what did we do? Well, as the fog was gathering around us, we did have one place where we could see, and that was just right in front of us. And really, you couldn't see much beyond 5 or 6, maybe 7 feet away from you before everything just disappeared into white. Now, if you've ever driven down the road in your car and it's begun to get foggy, you know what happens when the light is shining on it. It only reflects back. You get blinded by it, and you can't even make your way with headlamps through the fog. So our headlamps on our head were no good in helping us move forward. I'm sure that from a distance, it was interesting to watch these globs of light trying to move into the valley and through the forest in the valley. But we were there able to see only two things, our compass and our map. And we continued to orient ourselves with our compass and our map. And all we could do was stay close enough together that we wouldn't lose one of us, and that we continue to pick through the process, follow the path line that we had chosen on that map. And we began to identify where we thought we were. Now, here's the tricky part. We could never be sure of where we were. So we had chosen a very obvious thing to find. There was a body of water, a pond, that was in the middle of that valley. And so we knew if we headed to that pond, we would know exactly when we got to that point, and we could begin to follow the line of the pond until we got to the end and shoot another line down with our compass down the map. Now, if you've done orienteering, that kind of makes sense. But if not, you at least understand the concept that what we were doing was giving up on being able to sight our way through this process, giving up of seeing where exactly we were going to go, but we were trusting a map, and we were trusting a compass. And we were trusting our ability to stick on that process. Instead of panicking, we had to fight back on that sense of panic, because I can tell you that after racing for 18 hours, after being on our bikes, being on our feet, being in a raft, swimming, climbing, and doing everything else that was a part of this race, we were exhausted. We were driven to a point of exhaustion, and our mind was on overdrive. Now, that is what causes the fog wherever we might be in life, when we feel that overwhelm, when we feel that sense of just overwhelming lostness. What's really happening is the limbic system in our brain is on overdrive. Now, the limbic system, if you're not familiar with it, just very briefly, is the emotional part of your brain. We share it with lots of other mammals. We don't share it really with cold-blooded creatures, but mammals have that limbic system that has them feeling emotions. And the two primary emotions are really about fear and attachment. Of that danger point of feeling that, and you can feel it a lot of different ways, that you can call it anger, you can call it worry, you can call it stress, but it's all based in fear and attachment, which we also refer to as love-like friendship. Now, that's our limbic system. And when our limbic system is experiencing a place of fear, when our brain has detected that there's some risk, some point of danger, our limbic system really ramps up and spreads those emotions constantly through our body. And so we're driven by worry, we're driven by stress, we're driven by fear so much that our capacity of thinking clearly begins to drop. Our capacity of thinking about where we want to move towards begins to be lessened. We lose track of what's the outlying place. Where do we want to finally get to? What's our furthest destination we want to arrive at? Not only do we lose track, but we also find ourselves kind of overwhelmed with the sense of needing to stop, the sense of needing to protect ourselves, to go in that fight or flight mode, but mostly in that frozen state of that mode where we don't even know which way to move. There's some ways you can tell when you've been overcome by the fog. One is repetitive thoughts. You know, that same thought of worry going through your mind over and over. Now, I'm not talking about the repetitive thoughts about how life is good and all my friends are wonderful and my job is wonderful and I'm so glad that I'm here. That's not the repetitive thoughts I'm talking about. The repetitive thoughts I'm talking about are, I'm all alone. Nobody's here to help me. I fear what's going to happen next. I'm not sure how to go on. I'm not even sure how to find the next step along this path of life. Those repetitive thoughts are sometimes about things that have happened. So we imagine those bad moments in life and we get caught up into that. Another place that you might detect this is poor sleeping. That you either find yourself trying to sleep all the time to escape, or you can't sleep at all. Or maybe you wake up in the middle of the night not able to go back to sleep because those thoughts take you on. Those thoughts began to assault you and begin to take over your consciousness. Or maybe you just wake up too early. You don't want to wake up so early, but your body has gotten just enough rest to get by, and suddenly those thoughts start kicking in and you don't know where to go. Or maybe you experience it as that anxiety or a panicky feeling that a lot of people find in their gut, the butterflies, the anxious moments, the feeling that you're not sure how to move forward, just bound up in that anxiety and panic. Sometimes people experience this fog just as an overwhelming sense of unease or unsettledness that there's nothing they can put their hand on. They're not even sure what's causing it, and yet you can feel the unease, the unsettledness that you don't even know what to do next, and you don't even know how to decide that. Lots of people feel this as a sense of being overwhelmed, of being hopeless, of not being even sure how to take that next step because you don't even know if there's anything you're going to move towards. When we were in the valley, early, early in the morning, we could feel the panic. We hadn't slept, so that wasn't even a piece. We could feel the unease and the unsettledness, and we were beginning to feel that sense of overwhelm and not even sure if we could make it to the finish line. Now, the only nice thing about the adventure race is I had two teammates with me, and we could all the time make sure that we were staying on task because it was the three of us together. We knew that if we got lost, at least the three of us could help each other survive. It's a little different when you're by yourself and going through this. And even if somebody's right beside you, you can feel very much by yourself and lost in the fog because you don't feel that place of connection. Now, there are lots of reasons why it's so overwhelming. Sometimes we have unresolved issues and problems with somebody and we can't get resolution. It might be a marriage problem. It might be a work problem. It might be lots of other places where we're just caught up, right? And we can't find our way. We can't find our sense of how to move through it. And those unresolved issues and problems can be from any number of places. Unresolved grief. Not sure how to get beyond a lost relationship, or maybe it's a job issue. You know, a job is turned upside down and you're not sure what to do. There are lots of places that it can catch you, but there's this lack of clarity about even where to go. What if you have a marital issue and you can't even find a sense of what the next step is? And so you don't know what's going to happen. Maybe you don't know whether the other person is going to turn around and come in your direction. And so you don't know how to move towards the future. Or maybe it's in your job. And the job is changing over time, or the job is being discontinued and you don't even know where to go from there. That there's some incompleteness. We all have places where we lack clarity about the future because the future has yet to be determined. And when that happens, those multiple points of instability can begin to build on us. If you're familiar with Maslow's hierarchy of needs, you know that at the very bottom, there are some basic levels of survival and of safety that catch us, that capture us, and that keep us from moving on up. If you also remember, at the very top of Maslow's hierarchy of needs, is the place where we are most able to get beyond ourselves, where we're able to be actualized, self-actualized, to use this term, where we're able to think about the rest of the world and think beyond ourselves. But we have a hard time getting there when we're not sure about our basic safety. Now, let me say one thing about that. This is the perception of safety. Especially in most of our worlds, we're not truly at risk of losing everything and of being at danger. We might lose our lifestyle, but we're not necessarily at risk of losing our life. We might lose our comfort, but we're not necessarily at a loss of losing our house or our ability to eat. And so a lot of what we find is arresting our place of comfort in Maslow's hierarchy is really our perception of that, our place of feeling comfort with that. You know, one of the most favorite things I have in kind of my thoughts is the images of lighthouses. My family's had a chance to go visit a lot of lighthouses, and it always stands as an interesting point in my mind about those lighthouses. I've seen them on both the East Coast and the West Coast, and I've seen them on Lake Michigan, and I've even seen them overseas. And lighthouses look very different places, and lots of people have this vision of the lighthouse, and they almost have this vision of the lighthouse guiding them home, which is not what a lighthouse does at all. If you're a sailor, you know that the lighthouse is usually telling you where to stay away. It marks the point of danger. It's usually out on a point that tells you there are rocks here, it's shallow here, you need to stay a little bit away. But what they really do is they orient you and they give you a beacon of where you are. You don't go towards it. You orient around it. You orient based on that so that when you see that lighthouse in the distance, you can look on the map and know where you are. But a lighthouse shines through the fog to let us know how to move forward. We can find some lighthouses in our own lives, but we have to do a few things to get there. One is to recognize that there is even a fog in our life. Sometimes we get so overwhelmed with people that we don't even recognize it's there, that we don't even recognize what's going on, and so we're overwhelmed, and we have these repetitive thoughts, and it clouds our capacity of getting through the day, but we don't even recognize it. One of the ways that you can really begin to assess, are you stuck in the fog, is how many times do you just find yourself not sure what to even do? Maybe it's some place of pain for you that you've worked through and find yourself in that midst of the day going, I don't even know what to do right now. I don't even know how to move forward. I don't even know what to do. Even if it's small, I don't even know what to do. I don't feel like doing anything. I don't know what to do. That's a point where you can begin to recognize the fog that's in your life. So what do you do? First, you recognize the fog, and then you begin to create a plan. It's important to have a plan, and one way you can do that, a very simple way of just beginning to gain momentum, is to have a plan only of three or four things that have to be done that day. One of the dangers when we're in the midst of the fog is we overwhelm ourselves even more because we chastise ourselves for what we should be doing. We fuss at ourselves about why we're not able to make more progress, about why we're stuck where we are, about what's wrong with what's going on with us. And yet the fog is not something you can get rid of. It'll go away eventually on its own, but you can't force it out. You can begin to do some things that will help you get there. And one is to begin to create that plan. Create a plan of three or four things that have to be done that day and then commit yourself to the action of doing them. They don't have to be big things. Sometimes it may just be, I'm going to straighten my desk. I'm going to get that clean so that the order there will begin to come within me. Or it may be I need to make these four phone calls. Or it may be I need to find a connection point out there. I need to call my friend and ask to talk. I need to be clear about where I am in my hurt, in my pain. So work your plan. Commit to the action of that plan, whatever it is. If you've been with me through working on your marriage, for instance, on my other website, Save the Marriage, then you know that one of the things I recommend is writing down a plan of how you're going to work on the marriage because you need that as a reference point. In the fog, we get caught up in our emotions. As I said in the beginning, our limbic system is in overdrive. And so when we begin to try to work through things by our emotions, letting our emotions lead us down the path, there is no real path that it will take us. It will take us in all kinds of other directions unless we have a plan. When my friends and I were racing, we knew we had a destination we had to get to, and we had a plan. We sat down and looked on the map and figured out the plan to get there. We'll get to the pond. We'll walk around the pond. Once we get there, we'll aim at that clearing. Once we're in the clearing, we'll walk to the left side of the clearing and find another path to the next place. And what we realized was as we were walking and we were doubting what was going on, we kept watching the compass and we kept with our plan. We didn't doubt and stop and try to reorient it because we would have been lost. We didn't know where we were until we got to the next destination. And so having a plan helps us get through the emotions by allowing us to know what we've already decided to do, what we're committed to doing at that point. Which brings us to a very important thing. Be patient with yourself, but insistent on moving forward. Recognize that fog is a natural part of life, that those fogs of being overwhelmed with our emotions is just part of being human. It's just what we all go through at points. There's no way around it. What's going to get you might not get somebody else, but what's going to get them might not get you. We all have the fog creators in our lives, the atmospheric conditions that create fog in our own lives. So don't worry about the fact that you're in a fog. Be patient with yourself. Give yourself a little room, a little break. Don't be too critical on yourself, but insist on moving forward with getting through it. Don't allow the fog to stop you. Stay with your plan. My wife has a saying she uses often in her therapy, which is consult your plan, not your emotions. Your emotions will lead you all over the map. Your plan will keep you on the path. So make sure you have your plan, even if your plan is, what am I going to do today? What are the four things I'm going to do today? That's enough. But it might be a bigger plan. It might be your plan for how you're going to deal with this for the next 6 months. That's great. Just be insistent that you're moving forward. And the last part is about taking care of yourself. It's an emotional time, an overwhelming time. Don't allow your own health to get in your way. Don't allow the difficulty to be about how you're taking care of yourself. Let's talk about four different areas where you really want to be attending to that self-care right now. One is sleep. You know, if you're not rested, if you're not finding a way to get that rest, you're going to be at a danger point. Now, lots of people find that they have a difficult time in the sleep. And so here's a couple of hints. One is, if you're having a hard time going to sleep, make sure that you're consistent with your habits. Make sure that your room is completely dark, that you're not watching media, meaning you're not on your phone, you're not on your tablet, you're not on the TV, you're not looking at something that's got some light on it for an hour before you're going to go to sleep. So if you're planning on going to bed at 10 o'clock, then 9 o'clock, the media goes off and you want to begin to start relaxing. If you still are having those thoughts in your head, a useful strategy is to write them down in a journal. Just find some notebook or something and just write down what's going through your head. Just write it all down. Now, you can use that same technique if you find yourself awake in the middle of the night and just staring at the ceiling and having those thoughts. The best thing to do is get up, write those things down in a journal, and then go back to bed. You don't want to train yourself to just be lying there constantly thinking, which leads us to a thought habit of following up on a thought. You have to decide you're not going to follow up on every thought, because not everything that pops into our head needs our undivided attention, nor does it need our attention at all. And so as they pop into your head, to remind yourself that's not what you need to be doing right now. What you need to be doing now is go to sleep. Same thing early in the morning. If you can't find yourself rested, the best thing is go ahead and get up. If it's you know, an hour before you're going to get up, go ahead and get up and start your day. Just reminding yourself that you're going to have to make sure that you go to bed a little earlier to make sure that you're not getting into a sleep deficit. Which leads us to the question of what a sleep deficit might be. Generally, doctors and researchers tell us that 7 to 9 hours is about what we need. So if you're getting around 7 hours, your body really is getting at least the minimal level it needs. If it's at 9 hours, that's okay. More than 9 hours begins to leave us sluggish and kind of in hibernation mode. So you don't want to do that, nor do you want to be getting less than that. So that 7 to 9 hour range is a good time frame. And so if you're kind of watching your sleep habits, that gives you a basis for understanding what's going on. Okay, so sleep is very important. A second place is diet. You know, one of the things that often happens when we get into those emotional places is that we emotionally eat. And if we notice what we're putting into our body, we can begin to be aware of how that's affecting us. The biggest thing that people do when they're in that place of feeling overwhelmed is to start putting in carbohydrates. Carbohydrates come in two different forms, the crunchy, salty kind or the sweet kind. And sweet can be soft or crunchy. But whenever we're playing with salty or sweet, you can guess that you're getting a load of carbohydrates. Carbohydrates go almost immediately to sugar in your system. Now, I'm not saying to have no carbohydrates. I'm just saying that when you're in overwhelm, it's not the time to have potato chips, macaroni and cheese, and a slice of bread for dinner. It is a time to make sure you have lean protein of some sort, whether it's plant-based or animal-based, to have some vegetables that are done up nicely for you, and a small amount of carbohydrate. The reason for that is we can continue to throw off our body chemistry by not attending to putting good stuff in. Good fuel in allows us to lessen the effect of the fog on our brain. When we put those heavy carbs in, it immediately throws off our brain and really is a sign to our body of more hibernation. What we're basically doing is tamping down our responsibility, our ability to respond to these things, because of the fuel that we're putting into our system. Third is exercise. Make sure you're getting some exercise, because part of what's happening is a buildup of some adrenaline in your system. And when that adrenaline's building up and has nowhere to go, it becomes chronically stressful on your body, can create weight gain, difficulties with sleep, and lots of other things. And one way of getting around it is some simple exercise. And by that, I mean just simply moving around. If you find yourself just feeling like you want to be in front of the TV eating those chips, rather than that, take a 10 or 15 minute walk. Again, this is not one of those where it's going to be second nature. how we generally respond is by that hibernation period. But all that does is increase the level of fog. It doesn't decrease it. It adds to the fog. And so finding a way of getting in a 10 to 15 minute walk at least is a wonderful way of doing it. If you need a little more strenuous activity, but you don't have a lot of time, 7 minutes is all it takes. There is the 7 minute workout. It's a great way of getting a full body workout, getting all of those muscles involved, and you can scale it up and you can scale it down. So if you haven't been exercising much, a good starting point, you just take it easy doing it, but you can keep ramping it up. And that 7 minute exercise period, high intensity, is enough to drain off the adrenaline and get your body to a normal state. If you want my prescription is to walk 10, 15 minutes a day minimum and do a 7 minute workout at least 4 times a week. If you're doing that, you're getting what your body needs, not in terms of overall fitness. I mean, you're not going to suddenly be, having a six pack or whatever else you want physically, but you're going to be dealing with the fog through the exercise. That's an important thing to do. One of the best antidepressants we know of is exercise. The second best is diet. Way down the road is any medication. Statistically and research proven, those two things do more to lessen a depression, to alleviate depression, or a fog bank coming in, those two pieces. And the last one, so if the first is sleep, the second diet, third exercise, the fourth is finding support. Finding a mechanism where you can not necessarily just go and dump all your problems, but have an outside person. Have somebody walk beside you. When I was in that valley with the fog, the most valuable part of us getting through that process successfully was there were three of us who were a part of that journey. We could support each other, and when one person was getting frustrated, the other two could step in. When we were not sure, we could kind of take a vote on what to do next, and it gave us a mechanism of dealing with that fog bank. The same for you. Find a trusted friend. Find a trusted minister, maybe a therapist or a coach. Find somebody that will walk beside you through the process. And it might be that you never even talk about these issues that are going on in your life. It might be that you simply talk with that person and have a lot of contact with that person about just life in general, talking about what's going on with them, talking about what's going on with you. And in that process, you find that we humans, built for connection, do best when we have support around us. If you're going through this fog bank, please recognize the fog, create your plan, then follow your plan, commit to it, and be patient with yourself. Then make sure you're getting adequate sleep, eating well, getting some basic exercise, and finding others to support you. This is Lee Balcom wishing you through any period of the fog in your life that you may, at the end of it, look back and realize that you've gained new skills and thriving. If this podcast has been helpful, I would love if you would share it. The easiest way to do that is to leave a review in iTunes. If you are subscribing through iTunes, that's a great way of doing it. Podcasts are made available to you immediately if you're using iTunes or Stitcher. We're both available on Android devices and iOS devices. So leave a review. Let people know what you found. That's a great way of helping me help other people. If you're on Twitter, easiest thing to do is go to thriveology.com/love. That's thriveology.com/love. And that's going to give you a pre-populated tweet that'll let people know how to find this program, and you can let them know how good it's been. And if you're on the blog, please, please, please save or let people know, share. Right below this is you can share it on Google+, on Facebook, on Twitter, lots of other ways. That helps other people find us. Again, this is Lee Balcom wishing you the best for a thriving life.
You've been listening to the Thriveology Podcast. Thank you for listening. If you want more information, visit us at thriveology.com or at thriveologymagazine.com. Remember that Thriveology is spelled Thriveology. It's your life. Time to live it.